We're starting the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and story, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. Today's show focuses on the Integral Gathering, but first we'll hear a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Massio Snipes, then a mix by Johnny Feelfree. After that, I interview Johnny Feelfree and Orly of the Integral Gathering, and we wrap up the show with a tune I produced called The Raver. Stay tuned!
Private Snipes joined the U.S. Army on January 30, 1943, at Fort Benning, Georgia. The Army issued him a serial number. World War II was raging. D-Day was 18 months in the future. Private Snipes spent 2 years in the Pacific Theater. He enlisted for, quote, the duration of the war or other emergency plus 6 months, subject to the discretion of the president, end quote. World War II ended September 2, 1945. Private Snipes, like thousands of other soldiers, returned home, in his case, Taylor County, Georgia, at the end of the war with an honorable discharge. Private Snipes, having taken the oath to, quote, support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, end quote, decided to exercise his right to vote, guaranteed him under the very document that he swore to defend while he was in the U.S. Army. Private Snipes wanted to vote in the July 17, 1946, Georgia Democratic primary. The primary was, in essence, the election for governor. There was no real functioning Republican Party in Georgia in 1946. Therefore, whomever was elected in the Democratic primary would be the next governor of Georgia. Private Snipes did indeed vote in the 1946 Democratic primary on July 17th. In doing so, Private Massio Snipes became the first and only black person to cast a vote in a Democratic primary in Taylor County since Reconstruction. Massio Snipes had been warned that the first Negro that votes, that'll be the last thing he ever does. The next night, four white men showed up at the Snipes home. Massio Snipes was shot twice by Edward Williamson, reportedly a member of the Ku Klux Klan. The Snipes were sharecroppers on land owned by Homer Chapman. Snipes and his mother, Lula, walked to Homer Chapman's home for help. Homer and his wife Bessie took Snipes to the Montgomery Hospital in Butler, Georgia. I knew Homer and Bessie Chapman. Their house is a stone's throw from my farm in Taylor County. Homer was the uncle of my cousin Wayne. Homer and Bessie were good people. Montgomery Hospital was Taylor County's first hospital, opening in 1937. It was opened by Dr. Robert Clarence Montgomery. Maceo Snipes was kept waiting at the Montgomery Hospital for 6 hours before receiving any medical attention. The bullets were removed from Snipes. Snipes was told he needed a blood transfusion, but the hospital was out of black blood. The idea of giving Snipes a transfusion of white blood was not a possibility in 1946 Georgia. Snipes died on July 20, 1946. He was 37 years old. His death certificate lists his cause of death as gunshot wound by homicide. No one was ever arrested for this homicide. Before he died, Snipes told the police who had shot him. The community was told that anyone that showed up at the funeral would be shot. Snipes was buried in an unmarked grave under cover of darkness by MacDougall Funeral Home and Snipes' Uncle Felix. The whereabouts of Snipes' remains are unknown to this day. The coroner's court was convened on July 27 to review the case of Maceo Snipes' death. Edward Williamson told the coroner's jury that Snipes owed him $10. Williamson said he went to collect the debt. Williamson claimed that Snipes pulled a knife. Williamson testified that he shot Snipes twice in self-defense. Lula Snipes, Maceo's mom, testified at the hearing. Her account of the shooting was different from Williamson's. According to the coroner and the jury, the killing was justified. The headline in the Washington Post a week later read, quote, "Jury calls slaying of Negro veteran self-defense."
This is Mystic Pete. It is August 6th, 2022. I have on the line Orly and Johnny Feel Free. I've known Johnny for years and years. We go way back to the party scene in LA a couple decades ago. Orly, I just met. Orly is the producer of a gathering called the Integral Gatherings. August 26th through the 28th this month. It's the 25th anniversary and family gathering. Hi, Orly and Johnny. Orly, introduce yourself.
Hello, Pete, and hello to all your listeners. I'm Orly, and very nice to be on this show.
Johnny, feel free.
How are you doing? I've been with Integral Gathering probably 23 years of the 25 years it's been going, and happy to be on the show.
And you've been a main guy in helping a lot of events happen, particularly with logistics and sound. Like, you're the guy who shows up and does it right.
I try to be.
Orly, tell us about how the Integral Gathering started.
Integral Gathering started back in 1997. I had a party for my birthday up in the Los Angeles National Forest, July of 97, everything came together because being in the scene, I knew a lot of DJs. I knew the guy who owned the sound, Ben Wilkins, who owned the Tonka Sound at that time, and whom I worked for from time to time. So the whole thing came together because it was a family thing, a gathering from the community that just came together, and each one said, okay, let's do this, let's do that. You know, we went up to the lightning point up in the Los Angeles National Forest. After that, everyone said, hey, let's do this every month. Why don't we do this every month? And we started doing it every month, every new moon, because we were also part of Moon Tribe. We were all tribers, so we would always go out to the full moons out in the desert also. So that's how Integral Gathering started, every new moon. And we would gather either in the deserts or in the national forests. Now, if we were gathering the national forests, we would do something to help out with the environment, like do a cleanup, do a tree planting, do all sorts of things with the forest rangers. At the Los Padres National Forest, we ended up planting over 10,000 trees at once, and up in the Big Bear area as well.
The Integral Gathering started in 1997, kind of a spinoff from Moon Tribe, and I want you to explain about Moon Tribe, but sounds like there's been always some ecological consciousness about it, and you're trying to improve things, not just go and trash a place and have fun and leave behind a lot of garbage and not care about anybody else.
Yeah, that's the way it was always intended to be. There was a period when, after Orly had started doing Integral, that DJs kind of took over, in a sense. They would only allow certain DJs to play, and this isn't what the intention was at the gathering. So after a while, Orly started the Tree Hugger Society, and he was doing gatherings not with Integral, but with the Tree Hugger Society. And then slowly, Orly started to get back involved with Integral again, and the DJs who were kind of taking control of it had kind of left, and it started getting back to its roots where it was anyone is welcome to play, and we try and leave no trace, and if we can work with rangers, we will. We did for a long time, but those rangers have since left their positions, and we no longer have a contact with rangers that we could go and plant trees and collect seeds for them.
There's something that happens in just about every scene, whether it's underground or authoritative. It sometimes gets taken over. Like the people who are there, they want to protect their little power and glory and be in the limelight. So things trend just in every part of society towards elitism and look at me and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so it sounds like that crept in a little bit here. And I know there's other underground scenes that just kind of got very contaminated with a lot of egotism and pride. But Orly, you brought it back to more of a rootsy, family, community-oriented experience.
That's right. We just wanted to, build this platform so that others in our community could have the opportunity to express themselves through music. Sometimes we've had live bands, we've had poetry readings. We've had an array of things and people doing things and creating things out there, because that's one of the things that we encourage people to do. Is to, you know, become creative, show your creativeness, you know, share it with others. And we truly appreciate things like that.
Well, this is a constant pull in society between exclusivity, making money, some person getting all the glory, and the experience of community and family and love and art, and letting all of that positionality down and being inclusive. And we're constantly wrestling with this. Even what starts out to be innocent and beautiful, then it turns into something commercial and kind of something completely different. Ideally, organization and structure and the commercial and business aspects will build the community, the family, the artistic, the kindness aspects, but not always. Anyway, we just made the conversation very big, very quickly, but it's cool that you keep it, you bring it back. And I think this is what people can expect to experience on August 26th. It's just a very beautiful gathering. Nobody's trying to make money on it. In fact, you guys are probably losing money, but it's just like families are welcome. Kids are welcome.
Yeah, we've always had families, especially now, since we've been doing this over 25 years now. We've grown from being, those teenagers back in the days, jumping around, going from, one rave to the next, ending up in the desert, all covered in dust. You see families now, people having kids and bringing them out. And it's a safe environment as well, because, we try to keep it nice and tight. We only invite those that, you would invite into your own home.
Well, Burning Man has struggled with some of these issues. In a second, Johnny, you can tell about your experiences at one of the beginning ones. But it was just some counterculture, renegade thing. But now it's like 80,000-100,000 people involved and a huge amount of money. Well, Johnny, talk about being there way back.
In 96, there's about 8,000 people there. I think that was the number we had that year. And, a local came out from Garlock in a four-wheel drive truck and thought it'd be fun to run over tents. And it was shocking that no one got killed. But, when things get too big, they just get out of control. And it's hard to keep a community going like that.
Well, Burning Man is kind of an incredible cultural phenomenon, and people really have important personal, social, and spiritual experiences to this day. It's still, perhaps they've lost something in it expanding to this huge festival, even though you're out there in the dirt and mud and sweat of it.
It's easy to say that, it's a negative thing, but in a sense, though, it's what they're doing is still a positive thing, I think, because it's still an alternative to something that's full bore commercial, corporate sponsorship and that kind of thing. Burning Man definitely isn't that, they're not corporate sponsored. They've just gotten so big, it's hard to maintain a community, really. But it's still an experience that I think people should definitely go for.
Well, I think also it is an important cultural moment, like Woodstock was in the 60s.
For sure.
I think out in the desert there, you have experiences that you won't normally have. You see the edge, the coming visions of art and music. It's all showing up there. And 2 or 3 years later, what was hauled out to the desert shows up in movies. The production designers and so they're all going out there to see what the cool new thing is.
Yeah.
And then it hits mainstream society 2 and 3 years after that.
The first year I was there in 96, one of the guys I met he's on a rocket-powered go-kart screaming around the outskirts of the whole encampment. And he finally slowed down and stopped, and I started talking with him. He was a commercial lawyer wearing a teddy bear suit.
Of course. Well, that's de rigueur. We need teddy bear suits and other furries out there to just show our bona fides. But then on the other side of the spectrum is something like Coachella. And This is an entirely commercial venture. Mm-hmm. But look, a lot of important art and music is happening there. And I have some good friends of mine who are architects and designers, and they're part of creating it, creating this very commercial environment where people are blasted on drugs. And, you know, there's a lot of posing, a lot of look at me. Ism over there, but
a little too much look at me.
I know there's some people, like some really creative, dedicated people behind the scene. So, you know, it's maybe not so simple to condemn or idolize any of this stuff.
I don't want to get down on any other gatherings, you know, because they're all great, I think. But when you start getting a lot of commercial influence, you know, you start to lose some quality, I think. And especially you kind of start to separate people because you get like VIP areas and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not really like an equal experience for everybody.
Once you put a price on it, it just changes the whole, you know, perception of things.
Well, Orly, talk about the first days of Moon Tribe.
First days of Moon Tribe. Oh, my God. The first time, well, Moon Tribe was going on for about, you know, 4 years when it first started going. Moon Tribe was an amazing thing, just totally different from the raves that I was used to, and you know, all that commercialized thing, and you know, the whole flyering of, you know, parties going on, and you know, the littering of the floor of, you know, full of you know, bottles and people still, you know, wandering around. Whereas Moon Tribe was a little, you know, it was a lot more open-minded. You were out in the open with people that are, you know, very loving, camping out and sharing their food with their kids. And so that was a different point of view that I, you know, enjoyed more, just being out there. And someone who invited me to Moon Tribe was my friend Maggie, DJ Maggie now from Moon Tribe. And, you know, she had been wanting to go out and experience Moon Tribe, and she finally found Moon Tribe, and she was the one who invited me afterwards. I was hooked on it. And so that was one of the things that, you know, I gave me and gave us, you know, many, you know, part of the Moon Tribe family gave us the idea of starting the New Moons.
The New Moon Gatherings. So these are a bunch of rebel kids hauling their sound systems out to the desert with a generator. And now I'm talking about you, Johnny.
Yeah.
And setting up someplace off the grid, you know, maybe dropping a tab or two of MDA or whatever, you know, and just dancing all night under the stars, being rather responsible about the whole thing. So many connections and friendships were made, and an experience of dancing and music happened. And this just went on for years. Moon Tribe.
Yeah, Moon Tribe's been going on for 29 years now.
And then Integral Gatherings came from that.
Yes, that whole, you know, idea of being out there and being conscious about, you know, your own self. You know, the being conscious about the soul in you, the being in you, being aware about, you know, your surroundings, nature, leaving the place, you know, as, you know, pristine as possible, loving each other. The whole thing of, you know, Moon Tribe was or is, you know, their logo is live and love. And so something that, you know, we carried on with Integral Gathering as well. It's grabbing that seed and spreading it over, you know, other fields.
At one point, the Integral Gatherings were happening twice a month, and you'd have up to 1,000 people come.
Yes, that was. It got to that point where we started having up to maybe 1,000 people, depending on you know, the DJs that we were having. Some of them would have a big crowd. It was once a month, actually, but we were going out there twice a month because full moon. Every month was a full moon, And every month there was also a new moon. So we were out in the desert twice a month for some of us.
I hope somebody puts together a film on this at some point, because a lot happened there. A lot of seminal moments happened for the Southern California and really world dance, rave, social scene. And so now it's once a year. It's the 25th anniversary. It's out by Mojave Desert, 2 to 3 hours from Los Angeles, August 26th through the 28th. People can find out more information on Facebook. You have a Facebook group, just search Integral Gathering. And any other information you want people to know about it?
We try and do them quarterly. Sometimes we don't really have a set schedule per se, but we try and do quarterly. If things are going well, you know, we'll do them more often, but sometimes we don't do them quarterly. Sometimes it's 6 months in between. It really varies depending on, you know, how our personal lives are going and our access to finances and labor and stuff. But but there's always information on the Facebook page about when the next one will be.
We've also had to cancel also due to weather, because, you know, since we gather out in the desert, and during winter time, upper desert gets pretty cold. So there were times that we had to cancel because the temperature would be below freezing. And during the pandemic, of course, we didn't gather much.
And what actually happens on a typical day at the Integral Gathering?
We have a variety of music playing pretty much the whole weekend. Anywhere from house music to breaks to psytrance. We have live bands, and it's almost just like a big camp out. People barbecuing food and bam.
Orly, what's your vision for the future?
My vision for the future is for Integral to, you know, continue being that platform for the dance community of Southern California, or for anyone that comes over and joins us, be able to provide the same platform for our artists in our community to be able to come out and express themselves. And we allow that.
That's a beautiful vision. Coming full circle, the original Woodstock was in 1969, and then they tried to resuscitate it in 1999, and it was just this very commercial thing, but it was marred by violence, looting, vandalism, and fires. So, but I think you guys, with all your heart and kindness and beautiful intentions, will keep the Integral Gathering on a very firm footing.
You sure hope so.
Any final words? First Johnny and then Orly.
I could say that, you know, when Integral Gathering was the first outdoor underground music gathering I went to, and I was hooked from the moment I went. All I wanted to do is help continue to make these gatherings happen in any way I could. And I've helped out everywhere from, you know, just picking up trash to bringing generators to organizing pretty much every aspect of it. And just anything to help Orly continue to do these gatherings, because I think they're, it's an important thing to have. A place like this, you know, where people can go and express themselves any way they want. Anyone can get involved and, you know, steer it in any direction they like, you know, as long as it's, you know, open to everyone and it's art and family and, you know, good natured.
Orly?
Well, like I said, it's nice to be able to continue doing Integral Gatherings and being able to provide, you know, these gatherings for people, you know, close friends of ours, our family, to be able to come out and just enjoy themselves, listen to some music, be able to dance, look at the stars, go for hikes, cook in the camp out, bring out your instruments. This is what people do on a regular basis. And, you know, everyone has lots of fun in a family environment.
Johnny, feel free. Orly, Integral Gathering on August 26th in the Mojave Desert. Thank you so much, guys. See you then.
Thanks, Peter. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got to come out and play, Peter.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Thank you.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. We started the show today with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Masio Snipes. Then a DJ mix by Johnny Feelfree. Then I interviewed Orly and Johnny Feelfree, who put on the Integral Gathering, and just wrapped it up with a tune I produced called The Raver. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. We'll be back next week with the best of talk radio. Mystic Pete out.